consumers don't think like that. They don't care that you have multiple people worrying about their journey. They want one journey. They want one experience.
There will always be somebody stronger, faster, and smarter than you. Surviving depends on your adaptability to change. Those who are the most adaptable are dialed in. So, Sheriff, you are the Friday's first chief experience officer. So let's talk about the thing that you are the most dialed into, which you gave me the excellent title. It's about the experience, stupid. So let's talk about that.
Well, it is. It's all about the experience. And I had the pleasure of worrying about that experience for our guests, right? So how do you interact with them? What's their experience when they're inside a restaurant or outside sitting at home and thinking about food or beverage? It's about the interaction they have with your brand, right? It's about not just the burger or the ribs or the beer. It's how do you make them feel when they're inside a TGI Fridays or when they're sitting at home and thinking about food? That's what's important. That's what people worry and care about. Today, it's the experience they have with your brand.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. So Fridays, just recently, well, in November of last year, you guys went public, got acquired by a company that caused you guys to go public, which was really good news. And so you were formerly the CIO, and now you're the experience officer. Like, did you guys replace the CIO, or is that just the new all-encompassing title? New
all-encompassing title. So what we found is, You have to connect the dots, right? You know, right. A lot of organizations are siloed, right? There's a technology person, a marketing person, a culinary person, but consumers don't think like that. They don't care that you have multiple people worrying about their journey. They want one journey. They want one experience. And so internally, you have to organize that way. You have to think about connecting the dots across the functions and creating a more seamless experience for your consumers.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And, you know, CIOs have been saying for years, like they are the business, like technology is the business. They need to be more, more involved at the board meetings. And they need to be, have a bigger voice there. And I feel like you're doing it, like by being the chief experience officer, you're connecting those dots across all the various gaps there, right? With
That's
the marketing
right.
and the experience and the technology behind it, like fused under one roof.
Exactly. And I think that's, if you start thinking like that as an organization, it drives everything that you do, right? It drives how you create new programs. How do you think about interacting with your guests? Because you're thinking internally about the end-to-end customer journey. You're not just thinking about your little silo. And especially now during the pandemic, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
Talk about a drive to technology-enabled experiences, right? No one wants to be in contact with a human anymore, right? It's with technology. It's creating touchless experiences, but still relevant, still personalized, right? And you can do that with technology.
Right. So it's kind of like the work that you've been doing leading up to this. You were almost preparing for this pandemic. You just didn't even know it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really creating, again, using technology to create those touch points that are highly personalized. And allowing folks, you know, we allowed folks well before this to order Fridays through their Amazon Alexa devices, through their phone. They could even tweet to us and order a burger, right? And so all those different ways to interact with the brand that are highly relevant today, because you don't want to stand in front of someone and make an order.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not to get too specific, but I'm sure you've seen the data. You've seen some of the touch points. Like, it's kind of obvious to assume that the digital interaction with Fridays has gone up. But even previous to that, like, were you seeing adoption rates that were acceptable before this?
Oh yeah, even well before this. I mean, the basic last 12 months leading up, even before the pandemic hit, you know, it was a 2 to 3x type of increase in terms of our digital interactions with our guests. You know, people interacting with us even on social media went up 500%. We put in AI powered chatbots, right, to talk to people on Twitter and Facebook and on through our app. And that's really what it's all about, right? It's interacting with guests wherever and whenever they are. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to put that in place even before the pandemic, because it was the right thing to do. And it's even become more relevant in today's environment.
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, that's a really powerful story there. Now, where do you see, things going? It's hard to have a crystal ball, but from where you're sitting right now, like, where do you see things going? Like, what's the next frontier for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, to us, I think it's still continuing to think about how do you create the right experience at a very personalized level, again, no matter where that consumer or guest is, right? So you can think about when they're sitting at home and they're getting an email or a text from us, mm-hmm. you can highly personalize that. But how about in the future when people are going to go back out to restaurants and to retail? How do you create that same personalized experience inside your four walls? Right. So maybe your host or the greeter at the door has an earpiece. And based on your phone, when you walk in, they say, Kyle, welcome back. They know who you are. They know that maybe your favorite drink's an old fashioned and they'll have it waiting for you at the bar. Right. Wow. Think about that experience.
Yeah.
Right. Think about that VIP experience that's highly personalized, but using technology to deliver it within the four walls. That's the future, right? That's creating that personalized touch no matter where you are.
Yeah, I mean, what possibly using like facial recognition or even like Bluetooth on your phone to know that you're there. Something
exactly
like,
right.
Combo of those probably, right?
That's right.
I mean, you guys have done some really interesting things. I read up about it a little bit last night. Giving like at the bar, like you guys would give away like Uber vouchers or like discounts for Uber for people that are, you know, at the bar, they've had a little bit too much to drink, right? Just taking that experience a little bit further.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we grew up as a bar. We're very socially conscious in terms of what it means to have fun at a bar, but also to be responsible, right? And so a lot part of that is that through our partnership with Uber is to give out these free Uber rides, right? We want you to have a good time, but we want you to be safe on your way home. But it also extends in terms of doing things for people that I call not just loyalty. I think loyalty is an overused word in retail and restaurants.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Everyone's got loyalty cards and loyalty, but it's a discount program for a lot of brands, right? It's buy eight, get the ninth one free. That's not real loyalty in my mind. Right. Real loyalty is created because of the experience. You want to come back because you had such a great experience that I don't even have to give you a discount. I don't have to give you anything free. You just want like, wow, I got a free ride home because they know I had one too many beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's the experience more than anything else.
So what is the methodology or framework, without giving away Friday's secret sauce entirely, but for to help others that are viewing this right now, other CIOs, as they're trying to recreate this experience for themselves, right? Not the exact same experience, but I mean, like a good experience for their clients, for their customers, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to start and stop with your consumer, with your guest. And, you know, first thing we did, and what I would recommend to anyone, is get everyone in the room. Like literally everyone that touches your consumers, whether that's operations or marketing or technology or strategy, and actually just map out what your guest goes through. What is their journey? Where are they when they're thinking about your product or service? What's the decision criteria they go through? Who are they considering besides you? And why do they choose you or someone else? And go through that entire step-by-step journey and then figure out where can I make it better for them? Where can I create less friction? Where can I create more convenience in this pandemic? Where can I create more safety, right? And those are the touch points. We call them the moments that matter, right? It's not the whole journey, but it's the moments that matter in terms of when they're making a decision that you want to insert yourself as a brand and make sure that you're top of mind, that you're creating that stickiness that will last. And so to me, that's those points of experience that you can put in for that customer, but everyone's in the room talking about it so that there's not this, well, you need to do that and I need to do this. It's no, we need to do this for our consumers and how are we going to execute this together as a team?
Wow. Looking for those moments that matter. I love that. So Sheriff, as you transition from, I guess you would say more of a traditional, yeah, you were never a traditional CIO, but you had the traditional CIO title. I can already tell, but you transitioned from that traditional CIO title to the Chief Experience Officer title. You know, when that was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago or so. Right. So when you were going through that change, like what was the biggest hurdle, the biggest challenge? I mean, I'm sure you're already doing the job that you are doing now, but.
No, it's a great question because, you know, you can call yourself whatever you'd like, right? But if you don't have the organization with you, it's just a nameplate on the office, right? And so the biggest challenge is really to have everyone understand what the purpose of the role of the organization, of the connections are. Like, why are we doing this, right? Answer the big why question. And you have to be able to show the value, right? People are always at change is hard, right? You have to answer the question, well, why are we doing this? Why is it important for all of us? And that's a lot of groundwork, right? That's a lot of meeting with stakeholders and key decision makers and saying, this is why we need to do this. And this is why I need you on the boat, right? We all got to be on the same boat. We all got to be rowing in the same direction. And that's the biggest challenge because especially as you're transitioning roles, right? People still see you in your functional silo, right? Yeah. But you gotta think through, no, let's expand what this could be. And I can't do it by myself, right? We all got to be in this together. So how do we create this new vision together? And how do I help, right? The first thing is that how can I help? It's not we need to do this. Don't be the smartest person in the room, right? How can we do this together and really create change together? But that's work, right? That's not just words. You've got to do that in your actions and you got to do that in terms of how people see you interacting differently outside of just what you used to be doing and taking a much more broader view of the organization and of what you're trying to achieve.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Excellent. Excellent perspective. And Rusty Kennington out there, a friend of ours, he agrees. So definitely shouting out the moments that matter.
Rusty's a great friend. He's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Sheriff, throughout your journey as a transformational CIO, you know, a lot of the viewers here in the Elevate Exchange group, I mean, they're all about looking for this mentorship and looking for help. So, I mean, along your way, you probably had a mentor, you probably mentored, you probably have some mentees. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, very early on, I was fortunate enough to have some great mentors, you know, folks that basically told me, you need to end up better than where I am, right? Pushing me to say, you don't want to become me, you want to become better than me, and gave me the opportunities, even though I didn't have experience in certain areas, they kind of threw me in, said, let's figure it out, right? And I think you need people that do that, not just to help kind of help you find your next job or help you, you know, understand some topic or some area, but to push you, to challenge you, to make you go beyond what you think you can do. And I had some amazing, my first mentor was actually, no lie, his name was Dr. Lord. And he was the smartest.
No relation to Star Lord of the Galaxy.
He basically was. Yes, he was the smartest guy I'd ever met at that point. And but he, you know, he pushed me and he put me in areas that I was not comfortable. But you know, it was sink or swim. And I think that's what you need to do in a mentor-mentee relationship is push your mentee to be better and to exceed any point that you think you could be yourself. And I am. Been fortunate enough to be a mentor now to several folks. And, you know, I hope they say the same thing about me someday. But, you know, I value that because you can't do anything in this world by yourself. You need people that you can count on, that you can bounce ideas off, and that challenge you more than anyone else will, more than your normal boss would, more than your friends or family. Someone's going to give it to you straight and make you better. And if you don't have that, go find someone like that right now.
Wow, I love that. So Sheriff, growing up and coming up through to become what you are now, what do you think it is about yourself that got you here? Like, what was the driving force to make you want to be a CIO and make you end up where you are now?
Well, I mean, I at the end of the day, I think it all comes down to hard work. I mean, no one gets to be in any position like my colleagues or myself without putting in the work, right? There's very, very few of kind of success overnight stories.
Oh yeah, there's not.
You know, you put in the hours, and you know, I remember as a young guy, you know, doing 12-hour days, you know, and 14-hour days, and you put in the time. And I think that was instilled on me at a very early age by actually my father, who, you know, he was a doctor of microbiology, and we had emigrated over from Egypt when I was about 3 years old. And he was again, very established doctor. He was looking for work here in the States, and but he couldn't find anything right away. So he worked as a dishwasher in a restaurant at night, and he swept floors during the day. And here he was a PhD, but he worked two different jobs, worked his tail off while he was looking for another, more obviously bigger position to make sure his family was provided for. And, you know, that kind of work ethic, no matter what your degrees, no matter what your title, you know, put in the time, do what you need to do and work your tail off, and good things will happen.
Wow. Wow. That's a great story. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Rusty's shouting out to you again, CIO of the year, Sheriff Mityas. So yes, love it. So Sheriff, what's something that, a question that you would ask yourself, if you were in my shoes right now?
Question I would ask myself, I guess the question that everyone should be asking themselves is, you know, what can we do in our brands, in our organizations, to continuously get better? You know, no one can kind of stand on what they've done or just stand on the current situation, especially during these times, is what are we doing to continuously improve? And, you know, for me, it's ensuring that, you know, we continue to learn, right? We continue to listen to others. Again, you know, not all the best ideas in the world come from your own office or your own four walls. And, you know, we're fortunate enough, we put together kind of a shark tank at Fridays where we invite on a quarterly basis new startups, new companies to come in and pitch us what they're working on, new things that they think would be beneficial to our organization, and we learn. And it's a learning process for me, for my team, for the organization. And it's just great because you get to listen to other smart people, and it makes you better just listening, and makes you think about what's next. And to me, the best question in any organization to ask yourself every morning is what's next.
What's next? I love that. It is. It really is. If you think about it, that really is one of the best questions you can ask, right? Because it just keeps you moving forward. Stop moving backwards. So, you know, we didn't really talk too much on like the specifics of what you guys have done at Fridays. Maybe if you could share some stories about that, about along the journey. I'm sure it wasn't just like, oh, there it is. There's the plan. It's perfectly executed, right? I'm sure it wasn't exactly done that way, but maybe you can share some stories there.
Sure. So one of the things that when we started kind of mapping out that customer journey and really understanding, you know, how do we think about, or how do consumers think about coming to a Fridays during a food and beverage occasion? One of the things we noticed is that very quickly is we try to understand when and where these people are when they're thinking about food, right? And so interesting fact, probably met you and many folks on the call right now, 40% of consumers think about food when they're driving, right? A lot of people are driving around hungry, hence the drive-through. We don't have drive-throughs, but how do we reach those people when they're either on the way to work thinking about what are they gonna do for lunch, or driving home from work going, what are we doing for dinner, right? Maybe on the phone with their spouse, what are we doing for dinner tonight, right? So how do you reach those people when they're thinking about that food and beverage occasion? And so what we came to understand is timing is very important, right? If I don't reach you within a certain time window with a certain message, I may lose you. And so we looked at people's patterns of when they order. And we found that there, you know, there was a number of folks that ordered fairly consistently on a time of day and a day of week. It could have been, you know, soccer night on a Thursday night. And so mom wasn't cooking at home because she was carting kids back and forth through soccer and always looking for a pickup spot to pick up dinner for the family. So we would see Susan would always order Thursdays at 7 p.m. consistently. And we could see by her basket that she had two kids and a husband who liked ribs. Okay, so we know a lot about Susan now just by the data. So what if I sent Susan a text message or an email at 6:55 p.m., 5 minutes on a Thursday before I knew she was about to order? And I let I have an AI tool, artificial intelligence tool, that figured that out and sent her a specific message and said, Susan, even better, I have filled your basket. All you have to do is put your thumb on your phone and that order will be ready for you in 15 minutes. So we tried that. We tried it with 10,000 Susans, 10,000 individual guests with the data that we had, specific message at a specific time. Well, 7,000 plus of those people ordered.
Wow.
The crazy thing is we didn't offer a discount. This was full freight, full fare, but it was timely and it was personalized. So that's the power of understanding your consumers at an individual level and creating such a unique and convenient experience for them that why not? You knew what I was going to order and you knew I was about to order and all I have to do is put my thumb down. That's using technology to create a very different and highly relevant, and highly personalized experience. And it works, right? So you can't have people doing that, obviously, which is why we use technology and AI tools.
Right, right.
That's the type of things that when you really think about and you really dig down into what creates an action on behalf of a consumer or a guest, utilizing technology to make sure you're relevant and timely in that journey pays off.
Wow. So true story of removing the friction and seeing the results. Wow.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes I think like going out there to search for a discount is actually creates more friction than anything else, right? So it's interesting to say that you were able to accomplish without providing a discount. It's good stuff. So Sheriff, as we're wrapping up here, I see a lot of books in the background there. What would you say is your number one go-to recommended book for anyone out there in business?
I'm old school. I love some of the class. I like, Michael Porter's management books. I like Good to Great. I like some of the classics and, there's some newer, interesting books on customer experience, that have been interesting to read. But now I think you go back, business is not rocket science. And some of the founding principles on strategy and management still hold true today. And I think it's just a matter, especially during these times, is getting back to the basics. Make sure you have the right foundation. There's a lot of smart people out there that laid out the words well before we did, and they paved the way. So listen, get smarter, and move on.
Awesome. Awesome. Love that. What's the best, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but what's the best piece of advice, in summary that you think you've ever received?
Never settle.
Never settle. All right.
Always keep pushing, always keep trying to do more, be better, learn and help all those around you just be better. Because if you can get your team, if you can get those around you to be better, rising tide lifts all boats, right? And so everyone, the organization, your customers, get better. And at the end of the day, if you're not moving forward, you're going to get left behind. And so it's important to always learn, always move forward, never settle for where you are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It caused another question to come to mind. And that was kind of with regards to your story. So, obviously with the pandemic and everything, you probably saw a sharp decline, but I'm sure you saw also a sharp incline because obviously we're all not staying home anymore. It's clearly evident in the news, right? So it disrupted the schedule of Susan and soccer practice at Thursday. So that probably went out the window, I imagine, right?
Yes.
So what kind of trends are you seeing now? Or is it even too messy to even see a trend right now?
It is a little chaotic right now because everyone, to your point, schedules are a little off. So right now it's really shifted for us in terms of thinking about normal schedules to really creating more of a safe and convenient and touchless experience, right? That's kind of the messages that we now focus on is it's safe to come and get TGI Fridays food. It's safe to sit at home and have, you know, order it from Alexa. And so the messages that we're really focused on now is really trying to, you know, help our guests and our consumers understand that we've always been safe, but we're going to make sure it's visibly safe now and ensure that that Friday's experience doesn't need to be within our four walls. If you don't feel comfortable coming in, you can get those great ribs, our great burgers in the comfort of your own home, and really pushing that this digital contactless opportunity to enjoy the Friday's experience wherever and whenever you are still exists.
Wow. All right. Well, love that, Chef. Thanks so much for being on the show. Any last comments or concerns, questions?
No, thanks for having me. And, you know, just for anyone out there that's thinking about this role and thinking about moving your role, do it. It's the best thing you can do. It puts you really at the forefront of worrying about your consumers. And if you don't have anyone worrying about your consumers, you need someone right now.
Thanks for listening to Dialed In. This show is brought to you by Acuerdo.io, the world's first orchestration agency for the future of work. Go check us out at Acuerdo.io. This show could also not be put together without great partners, Robin Austin and Casey Yarbrough of Elevate Exchange, membership for IT leaders. And remember, to win in life, to win in business, to win in your career, it's not about being the strongest, the fastest, or the smartest, simply about being the most adaptable to change, the most dialed in.